realms of Senith.
It would be convenient to make camp over by the forge as well. Not like right over there. Maybe it'd be useful to be close for the purpose of heat, but somewhere in this room is what I would say.
Who's going to take first watch?
I suppose I don't know.
Diamond, can you roll me a wisdom saving throw?
15.
So are there any rituals or something that Diamond does before she's getting ready to trance?
She has a self-care routine.
During Diamond's trance, you feel something trying to interrupt your rest. Your saving throw, you manage to shake it, but you do get images of the elven lady that was in the armory room. She was attempting to enter into your trance.
Can I let her enter to see what she wants?
You actually would have control with your roll of where you are in your memories.
I guess in my forest.
She appears in your favorite spot, I would imagine, in the forest.
Yeah.
First time since you've left the forest that you've had this kind of control over your trance. I think we discussed before that Diamond doesn't have that much control yet. But similar to being in the forest, I don't think we've actually given her a name or him a name. Him or her? The tree?
You can decide.
Being so distant from him, you lost your ability to control your trance and the memories that you view. With resisting Elvinia, you seem to have that control again. And you find yourself in that forest near your sacred tree. You see Elvinia actually standing between a couple trees looking in your direction. And she's just looking about with her head tilted at a slight angle. And she says, I know this place.
Do you know?
This is near Aerofort. This tree, she starts to move forward a bit. Reaches her hand out. Oh, this is very old.
Well, yeah, it's a tree. Trees are old.
Fair enough. To that, which she smiles and she looks, her head still tilted in your direction. She says, of course. And then she stands at like a rest with her hands in front of her.
So like, why are you here though?
You were quite curious about me at our first meet. And I have to admit that I was quite curious about you as well.
So, are we going on a date?
Not exactly, no.
That breaks my heart.
She snickers a bit at that. She says, I was hoping to learn more about you than just one memory. Is there anything else you could show me?
What do you even let me know about you?
What would you like to know?
Why do you keep visiting the dwarves?
I was visiting to reminisce.
Why?
She says, I admire what's been done in the city.
And that is?
Well, you seem like adventurers, yes? I'd hate to spoil it for you.
I have anxiety. Please spoil my story.
The dwarfs had an agreement with their gods, and they broke it. For this, they suffered a retribution. They fought quite well, but in the end, they had to abandon their city. Their survivors, they left the mountains. She's kind of looking off into the distance a bit. She says, some of them came quite near to here, you know.
Did they?
Some of them settled with the humans of Elkwood. Though I suspect you might know some of this. I admire that they stood up to their gods.
Well, a lot of shit can also happen when you fuck with them, so.
She smiles and she says, but they survived.
All right, well, I guess what's fair is fair. What did you want to know?
I could sense from you a strong elven spirit, far more than I would ever expect to find in a creature such as yourself.
Wait, what do you mean a creature such as myself?
One with a mixed ancestry.
So what was the question?
How did you come to be here? And why were you accepted by the creatures of this forest? The elves have long abandoned this area, and they have moved on, but yet you've come here.
Well, I just felt called to the forest.
She would smile. She looks into the forest around you, kind of see that her smile fades quickly, and then she says, I have not felt called to this forest in a very, very long time. Very few elves have.
Okay. What does that have to do with me?
Exactly. Why have you been called to here? You kind of see her demeanor change a little bit, her head still tilted, and she says, what makes you so special?
Oh, so why me and not you? Okay.
Why you and no one else? Why would the gods favor you?
I don't know. I'm just a weird cat girl, though. Don't mind me.
I appreciate our visit. Perhaps you'll take me here again sometime?
Maybe later. Yeah.
I think she wants to go on a second date.
Yeah, with that, you see her kind of fade from your memory. But interestingly for you, you find that you can actually stay here if you were to so choose. So yeah, other than that, your trance goes fairly uninterrupted, and you do regain all of your stuff back, all your spell slots and everything. But we still have no Morid.
Whatever will we do without the mayor of Moridville? Guess that makes me the mayor now.
Now you're both the leader and the mayor. All right, Erevan, you spend some time on that chainmail, investigating the magic properties of it. You discover it to be a Mithril Mage's chain shirt that adds one to your spell attack bonus.
Just my attack bonus? Does it do anything for my save DC?
No, just your spell attack bonus.
Cool. Well, Erevan's gonna put that on then.
This chain shirt is part of a larger armor set, and when combined could become quite powerful. There's more to find for it if you want to complete it.
Gotta say that I do want to complete it. Is it like plus one or anything like that?
No, this part of the armor is just the spell enchantment, or the spell attack enchantment. It's not meant to be the heavy protective part of the armor set.
From the AC print, which goes down by one then.
All right, so beyond that, the night is going to go fairly uneventful. You do hear from time to time some footsteps from down the hallway to the right through those two doors, but it's at some distance.
Should we go check out the footsteps?
Sure, let's go check out the footsteps.
The footsteps do seem to be coming from up the stairway and in the living area. What's the marching order? Who's going up the stairs first?
Erevan.
Okay. What's your vision range?
For dark vision, 60 feet.
So you can see that there's a large gate that had four entrances to it that has fallen to the ground. Pieces of ceiling have fallen. It looks on the brink of collapse. To the left, you would see what looks like a bar, but it's more like a breakfast bar. On the walls behind it are two dragon heads displayed as trophies. You see some sinks there, a cutting board, and a small desk in the back with a ledger sitting on it. You see an oven and a cupboard full of many ingredients. One could imagine this to be an area that dwarves would stop to grab a bite to eat on their way to the mines. To the right, there is light coming in from the ceiling that lights up this garden area.
Erevan's going to step in here and look around for anything of value.
As you step in here, you start to hear those footsteps again to the north. The edge of the map there actually continues on into a larger living space and a market. There's apartments carved into the stone. This place could have held 1,000 dwarves in this one area. There are, like I said, markets. There's a small park that's been abandoned and fallen to ruin. There's some light again in the distance. It looks like there are small homes like this one that Diamond's investigating. This is the only one that appears to be fully intact. What is Diamond doing at the fence there? You just kind of peeking in?
Just peeking in. You mentioned the playgrounds. I want to go there. I want to see if there's swings.
All right, so Diamond starts to wander off north and into the major part of the city. And those footsteps, you would get to the edge of the map here when you see what's making those sounds. You see dwarves walking around, but there's something off about them in that they're dragging their feet, to which I imagine Mord would say to you guys quietly, I don't think they're alive.
What do you mean they're not?
Undead dwarves. Got zombie dwarves on our hands.
The zombies don't appear to be paying you any mind at the moment here, like they haven't heard you. But there is quite a few of them, just in your vision range here.
How many exactly?
You would imagine there are several dozens from what you can see.
Not exactly an encounter we want to take head on.
So what are we doing?
I have no idea.
And I'm trying to think here, and like, obviously there's no way to progress through the city except for, you know, through all these zombie doors. Obviously we can't just take them all out. We're going to have to sneak around. I mean, unless they're not hostile, but zombies are usually hostile. Is there a way for me to tell if these dwarves would turn hostile as they sensed us?
Well, you've never heard of a zombie being anything other than a hostile creature.
Well, then I'll assume they will be hostile. From here, do we see any sort of, like, entrance into the next area of the city? Like, any way to progress, pretty much?
You do see a large building. It's the most prominent feature in this entire cavern. From here, you would guess that it's the library.
Ooh.
For the dwarves here.
Wow.
But most of the other buildings, they look just like farms, homesteads, food storage. And most interestingly for the homes, you see like stick-built homes in the middle of the floor here between all the large stone apartments, as though perhaps some of the more noble dwarfs had their own houses. You could see some homes that are, you know, falling apart, but they look like maybe humans could have lived here.
Can we easily get to the library without alerting any of these zombies?
You would have to stealth your way to the library. It'd be a couple checks for everybody that's moving there. How exactly would you move there? There is cover.
It feels like our only option if we want to explore this city. We would have to stealth past all of them, pretty much.
Would it just be one of you at a time moving, or would you guys move as a group? And who's leading?
Who can see the farthest?
Do you wanna move as a group, Diamond?
Sure.
I suppose we move as a group. Irvine can take the lead.
Actually, I don't know Morad's vision range. I mean, I think I have his. Yeah, he's only got 60 feet as well.
Well, I rolled a stealth check just in case, and I need that now. It's a 20 total.
All right, Diamond, go ahead and give me a stealth check as well.
13.
All right, Morad gets a 20. The first bit that you guys move goes well for you. There's a zombie on the other side of a fence you almost alerted, but you evade them. Like, they look one direction and you hop to another. You're about halfway to the library when you start seeing other creatures in this area here. What looks like skeletons that are armed. Dwarven skeletons, clockworks, similar to those weave spiders that you fought, but other types of them, like beetles. Near a home here in this living area, you see a mummy that appears to be patrolling near the library. It would stand out to you because it seems like it has a purpose. You watch it walking away from the library, whereas the zombies are just wandering. This one seems to be going somewhere.
Does it seem like it has more sentience and awareness than the zombies do?
Yes. You get the impression that it may have been commanded to do something specifically.
Maybe the person or thing that commanded it is inside the library. Keep going to the library, I suppose.
All right, so for this one, you're going to be crossing the markets, and there's quite a few zombies around here, so it's going to be a pretty difficult stealth check. The DC on this one, minimum. Here, let me roll it out. All right. Okay. So the DC minimum is going to be a 14.
20.
18.
All right. So most people have made it. Mord failed it pretty badly, but you guys managed to drag him along, get him out of sight real quick. All right. So you make it to the doors of the library. Inside, you don't hear anything specifically, and the door is still slightly ajar from when the mummy left.
All right. So
we gotta rush in, right?
Mord's a bit sweaty to what Diamond says. He's like, yeah, I'd imagine so.
All right, 1, 2, 3, go.
There are shelves that extend up to the ceiling itself. Old tomes, there's spider webs all over them, dust everywhere. You're greeted by a large desk and a circular table that looks like the head librarian's office, where they could see most of the library and be available to speak with anybody. There's large tables set up on the floor here on the first level where old blueprints and papers and scrolls are laying, having almost turned to dust themselves. There are stairways that ascend about 6 levels. By comparison, this is nearly as large as the library you were apprenticing at Erevan. So this is another grand library. There are mirrors all over the place that distributes sunlight. However, it's fairly dark in here, and it appears to be dimming.
Well, I suppose Erevan's going to start by investigating, trying to find something useful, maybe even some books that would tell us more about this place or anything. Maybe even any books on the armor that I found.
That actually you do find quickly. It's on the first floor and near the grand the librarian's desk. You would find a book about armor smithing and magical enchantment. Inscribed onto the cover of the book is a drawing of the shirt, immediately recognizable to you. It appears to be one of their standard battle mage armors. The book is, it's in a strange dialect of dwarf or dwarvish. You would interpret it something to the effect of for the wars against the elves. But it's not just elves. It's like spelled a slightly different way. It's something you haven't actually seen before. Is there anything in the library you're investigating, Diamond?
I'm just looking around. I don't know. Has anything caught my eye?
She spent most of her life in a forest, right?
Yeah, so she don't really care about books and shit.
This is an absurdly large use of wood. The wood on the ground here is that wood that the large wooden door was made of, that fine rustic looking stuff.
It looks pretty though.
Yes. This if this place was cleaned up, you could imagine it'd be quite beautiful.
We can make it cleaned up at some point. We can get the king's men in here. Once we're done, get them to invest, get all these books, maybe double our library.
As you're looking through, trying to find anything else, Erevan, you would find that there is a pretty extensive, much to your surprise, extensive area about spell casting. And you would see a lot of partially completed spell scrolls, a lot of ingredients that are...
I'm definitely going to look through a lot of that, see if I can, just... learn anything. I want to find as much as I can about the armor, as much as I can about spells and magic, and as much as I can about the city, and maybe even anything related to its fall.
So you find amongst one of the work desks on the bottom floor here, there's one that looks like it was tooled for building small contraptions. There's a partially completed beetle here, surrounded by small gears and very small tools that look like someone that had to be extremely dexterous would have to use.
I'll give that book to Morage. It seems like it's his thing.
So yeah, the spell book, the spells within it that Morage would tell you about is Analyze Device, Greater Analyze Device. What he seems to be particularly excited about is he finds two spells, Thousand Darts and Steam Blast.
Oh God, Steam Blast. I have a feeling he's going to have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, you'll have to carry a kettle around to use it.
Oh God. It
smells like dead trees in here.
Maybe because there are dead trees in here. It looks nice, though. Very cozy. I think I like dead trees.
Mord would be like, that's... I've never heard an elf say that. Half elf.
I think you see what the half is coming from.
So as Diamond's looking around, fairly aghast, you do see an area like a small garden that is set up with a prayer area. It is surrounded by shelves with books on it, but the books themselves appear to have vines that are at this point barely alive on them, so that they look like they were living books.
How do I revive the book?
Immediately at your approach, the vines start to become a bit more green, and you can feel them drawing from you some of the innate magics about you. You have seen stuff like this happen before in the Fey Forest, so it's not completely strange to you. But it is a bit surprising to find, like a civilized area that would do this. To answer your question, it's like immediately, just by being there, you seem to be giving life to the books themselves.
I should take them, right? Since, I'm giving them life. Right.
These seem to you probably precious. The garden nearby, a small area, rangers and druids would come to nature and to their gods. A little piece of the outdoors down in these deep dwarven mines and city. The books themselves are written in Elvish, which you can read, and they appear to be just notes of history, maps of different forests, particularly the forests of the valley that is nearby. You see like plant descriptions. It's like a taxonomy. I can't say this word, but hopefully you understand what I mean, like a categorization of the different types of plants. It looks like a very scientific work was being done by the dwarven druids here. Like they were studying nature, trying to mess with different herbs and different plant oils to make different kinds of medicines for use down in the mines.
Okay, well, obviously, I just got to start reading this book. I want to know all that stuff, so I'm going to take it with me. So I guess I'm trying to move further. I'm done with this area. I'm just going to take the books with me.
It's happening.
Yeah, so Moradin, you would look up and see that she's already peeking out the door, ready to leave. To that end, Diamond, you see pretty much the same sight as before. Just the various zombies and then, like, skeletal patrols.
Yeah, basically, Erevan is just going to grab a few books. The one on the armor that he found, probably that one and whatever other spellcasting books that look like he would be interested in. Then I suppose we could leave. Is there any other place where we can, like, you know, explore the city more? Basically, just a way to get out of this area.
You do see a large temple, but that is pretty much as distant as it could be from any exit that you can see. There is the way that you came from that goes back down to the mines. But on the opposite side of the city, you do see another stairway, like a large, much more grand stairway that looks like it goes up.
Let's go!
All right, this is going to be another couple stealth checks as you try to move through the city.
We're going to the temple, right?
I guess I never asked to be clear. Where exactly are you guys moving to?
I will share the information I received in my letter about the temple that basically says, temple bad, don't go there. I think we should go to those stairs that lead up. I rolled a stealth check and I got a 20 total.
I got a 9.
Oh, God.
About halfway to that stairway, that staircase. Diamond, I'm not sure what exactly happened that nearly gave away your guys' position. Do you have any ideas?
I tripped.
All right, so she nearly hit a basket and knocked over a bunch of pots and pans near a kitchen that's been exposed, like a wall that has fallen, and most of the pantry has just been laying out into the street there. So that was a close call for you guys. And then one more check.
14.
17.
We're going to be rolling some initiatives as you mistimed a street crossing and you got seen by some skeletons.
12.
My initiative would be 22.
So yeah, Erevan, you're up first with 5 skeletal guards that are charging in your direction.
Are they all close to each other?
Yeah, they haven't broken formation yet.
I'm not 100% sure if I should do this, but there's 5 of them, so I think that makes this worth it. Let me look it up real quick. Those 5 skeletons need to make constitution saving throws. I cast Shatter.
Looks like only one makes it.
19 damage to those who failed and half as much to the one that succeeded.
So on their turn, they're at enough of a distance that they can't make it to you and attack at the same time. But they're charging up to you, and that is their turn. Diamond, you're approached by 2 skeletons, both of them wearing armor and are shielded, and they have dwarvish short swords. And by 5 of them, I actually mean 4. One of them is destroyed by Erevan.
So I'm going to guess the rest aren't doing so hot.
The spell hurt them pretty bad.
Emmy is main beam.
Looks like you can hit 3 of them. So 3 of them must make constitution saving throws. 2 of them make it. Take half as much damage. Yeah, go ahead and roll the damage.
9.
All right, so under the spell that you've just cast, one of them falls into a pile of bones. The other 2 look like they are going to attack without any care. I think I'm going to firebolt with Morad real quick. All right, and another one goes down. Erevan, it's your turn. There's just the 1 left, it looks.
How far away is he from me?
He is 5 feet from you.
Melee distance?
Yeah, it's melee distance.
Attack with my greatsword then. 20 total.
Alright, that's a hit. As long as you can do 3 damage.
Yeah, I did way more than... It's a 6 minimum, because it's 2d6 plus 4, so yeah, that's... He's done.
Yeah, he's torn down.
And as I chop him down, everyone's going to say, mind if I cut in?
I'll wait until Diamond returns. But this was just a quick little fight. You guys spent about 6 seconds.
Yeah, pretty much. I wonder if I should have used that spell slot, but at the same time, I feel like that was like 19 damage to most of them, so probably would have taken a bit longer if I hadn't.
Between your spell and the moonbeam, you cut them down before they could really alert anything. I would say you guys did exactly what you needed to prevent your situation from becoming very deadly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
Welcome back. We'll do one more set of stealth checks as you guys move on from this position, though.
17.
19.
All right, yep. So you make it to the staircase. You guys are greeted immediately at the top of the staircase by much brighter light. A very large gate about 200 feet in the distance with light coming through it. This must be the actual entrance to the city. You see a ranch to your right that's quite dilapidated, but you can see that there were fences that would hold livestock. And this is a very large ranch. It has a grazing area of that's become mostly overgrown at this point. There's a garrison that looks like it would house a fairly large dwarvish military force that guards the gate. And you see like a royal reception area nearest to the gate with a house, a very stylish house, you would say, that's built out of very fine mason work that you would imagine would be like a greeting area for dignitaries. And then it would have been serviced by a nearby kitchen and brewery. So I don't know how to... This is a very large entrance area. It's very elaborate. There's statues in disrepair, missing arms and such at this point, or just laying on the floor. Just your standard typical ruined area, but it's a grand place. Diamond, you would take notice that there is a lot of intentional plant life here. This looks like it would have been a comfortable place for an elf who has, you know, for yourself, you've lived in the woods, but like elves in general living in the woods, they would not have been too out of place here. So this looks like a large effort by the dwarves to be welcoming to dignitaries from the elvish lands that are nearby. There are trees here, for example. One of them is a very large old oak that still is alive, and it's in the light of the gate itself. It kind of grows to one side because the light is very, you know, coming in a direction. It's not coming down from the top.
Can I climb the tree?
Sure. Give me an athletics check.
No, I can't. I got meat.
Well, I mean, you don't embarrass yourself if that's what you're worried about. Quite difficult to get a good grip. The branches are very high. You do make it up a little the way, but you can't get all the way to the top. Mord would ask you, just kind of come up behind you as you've slipped down the tree a bit. And what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm in a tree. Yeah, I want to see the light.
She's doing druid things.
I think Mord's going to give it a shot. Cause he's going to start pulling out different devices, maybe to your horror, like little climbing picks and stuff like that.
I think climbing trees is a druidic ritual.
Here, try these, actually. Mord says as he looks at you. It's like, you probably don't want me stabbing at your tree here, but maybe these will help you. So you can roll another athletics if you want to take those, and you can roll it at advantage.
I don't want to stab the tree.
He says, okay, and puts them away. Erebon, why don't you give her a boost? Because maybe she'll see something from here.
I suppose I'll try and help her get up higher.
He says, well, I would do it, but you know, gnome.
Yeah, you're very small.
Yeah, not much of a boost. But yeah, so Diamond, with help from Erevan, you're actually able to scale this tree.
You know, Morid, your voice has changed a little. You sound like Amir. I think you're hanging out with him a bit too much.
Yeah, I have my typical gnome voice.
It's your short person voice.
So from the top of the tree, Diamond, you can start seeing like the top of the roofs of some of the buildings. You can see how the gate much better from this position. Outside, you're pretty certain, is the mountain valley. You can see a lot of foliage. You can see leaves and trees. You see some secondary gates as well, much smaller, but they look like they were connected to the ranch where cattle could be brought in and out from, be allowed to graze.
Wow, there's cows over there, guys.
Well, there's no, you don't see any farmers or anything like that, but you do see some animals wandering in. Some animals have made their homes in the ranch area. You do see some small critters running about from up here. Nature has started to reclaim the city from here, and it's slowly making its way towards the cavern, but there's not a whole lot that could, you know, you would imagine to survive down deep in the city. So roll me a perception check, Diamond.
16.
You do spot some large movement near the gate where the animals would be brought in and out, and it doesn't look like an animal. It looks more humanoid, like something just left the area. It was a very shadowy figure.
There's a person thing with the animals. Y'all see that? Y'all want to go see what it is?
Let's go.
Yeah, go. I'll be right behind you.
Irulan takes the lead.
I guess I'm jumping out of the tree.
Do you need any help getting down?
Cat's always laying on their feet.
Sounds like a dare for me to make you roll that. No, I won't. I won't make you roll it. You land on your feet, and you guys start making your way to the ranch. Now, as you approach the area you saw the figure, you do see footsteps on the ground.
Well, someone's got to be taking care of these animals, right? Like, they look healthy.
Yeah. Actually, the gate itself looks like it's been used.
We should investigate, try and find this person, talk to them, see what they know.
Okay, so are you going to go and leave the city then and go into the woods to look for them?
Sure.
Wait, are we supposed to be doing something in the city?
Mord would be pretty sad to be leaving the city, but I don't think he's going to stop you guys. He's not going to stay there by himself.
I don't think he wants to deal with all the zombies and skeletons and mummies and nests.
Honestly, I don't either.
Yeah.
All right, well, fuck it, let's go.
Tracking the footsteps leads you on a wandering path. Roll a survival check for everybody as you're trying to track this person.
15.
18.
All right, who's taking the lead on this? Erevan, I'm assuming?
Yep.
All right, so the tracks end, but you're not seeing anything immediately. You're definitely in the valley. You guys can see the mountains ahead of you through the trees and through the tops of the trees. This is kind of a sparse area you find yourselves in, a fair bit open. So for the tracks to just end here is a bit suspicious, I would imagine, as Mord himself would say. He's like, this is strange. What did you roll, Ninja? I heard dice.
I rolled an 18 for the survival check, but I haven't rolled anything since then.
Diamond, you would spot that shadowy figure again in a tree. They actually have a bow, and it's pointed in your direction.
Oh shit, that guy's got a bow. I'm gonna make some magic stones.
Gonna make some magic stones, Erevan?
Ready an Eldritch Blast if this person tries to attack us.
You hear that person say, I would hold very still if I were you.
You know, if you're gonna shoot me with a bow?
Why are you following me?
Why are you in the ruin taking care of these animals? Like, what's going on here?
It's an elvish voice you hear. What is it to you? And why are you coming from inside the dwarvish ruins? Who are you?
I guess you could say we're adventurers, explorers, maybe trying to learn about the dwarven city.
No one's come from the dwarvish city in a very long time. How did you manage to navigate it alive?
A little bit of skill and a lot of bit of luck.
Magic?
Yeah, a little bit of that too.
She starts to drop herself from the tree. She starts to approach with her bow pointed down, but she stops in the opening there and with her side to you still, as though she's ready to raise her bow again. What magics exactly allowed you to pass through the city?
I don't know. Magics.
Magic that turns skeletons into piles of bone.
There's thousands of skeletons in the city.
Cats.
Well, I mean, we only encountered a few. We just kind of snuck past the rest of them.
She draws her hood back, and you would see that she's a dark elf with the obsidian-colored skin. The evils within have allowed you to pass through the city. You must understand that I'm more than a bit suspicious of you and a bit hesitant to allow you to pass through these woods.
I mean, the only evil I'm aware of is the evil at the temple.
What's your business in the city, and how did you make it into the city? You did not come through this way.
You see, it's a bit of a long story. We were trying to, you know, stop goblins from attacking merchants. And then we found a well, and we jumped down the well, and we found the city. And then this guy here, and he points at Moridge, and he's like, this guy here calls the city of Moridgeville. I guess he's the mayor.
Have you destroyed all the skeletons? Have you cleaned the city?
No. We destroyed like 5 of them.
Then I don't think anyone's going to honor your claims on the city.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. You can take that up with Moridge.
Diamond, she's looking at you inquisitively.
Why are you staring at me? Are my ears weird? Is my hair sticking out? What's wrong with you?
She says, I meant no offense. You're Diamond, you said your name was.
Yeah.
My name is Vadania.
Nice to meet you, Vadania.
I'm a ranger in the valley here. This is my clan's home. We protect these woods and prevent any creatures from coming out from where the dwarfs once dwelled. She has scars on her face, I should make note of. It looks like she's a pretty seasoned warrior.
Do they try to come out a lot?
It has been at least a century since they've made any real effort to leave the caves. But every once in a while, a zombie would wander out, not, I would say, a coordinated effort to reclaim the forests. The mummy within is quite greedy.
The mummy within?
Is this mummy... We did see the mummy speak of. Is it a leader or a servant?
Well, it depends on which mummy you saw. She would ask you to describe it to her.
I describe whatever I saw.
She would say, it sounds like one of the Templars, not the leader. There's a mummy lord within that rules the city now, rules over all the dead citizens that the mummy lord felt betrayed by and allowed to be killed, essentially. She says, they didn't pay their taxes, their tribute to the temple, so he turned the clockworks against them.
This mummy leader, was he the king? Before all of these, before everything happened, did he used to be the king of the city?
He was more like the religious leader who guided their greed, loyal to an evil god. And he forced many of the miners to pay in gold for everything they found. He discovered that many of the miners stopped giving him their full earnings. And so he penalized the whole of the city.
That's
good. Well, the temple in the city is, after all, for the, you know, the dwarf god of greed, so makes sense, I suppose.
Kind of going back to the part where I'm a bit suspicious of your presence here and your ability to have passed through the city.
All we had to do was just sneak past all the nasties.
Yeah, we just snuck past them, and I moonbeamed some. He used, like, I don't know what he used. I wasn't paying attention. I was worried about me.
Shatter. I shattered a few of them.
You are allowed, I would suspect, to do this. The Templars are quite vigilant, and they prevent anybody from leaving the city without having made tribute to their mummy lord. So what I'm wondering is, what tribute did you pay?
None that I can think of.
I don't know.
You're saying that we were allowed to pass through?
She says, most certainly you were.
If anything, we took from them.
Yeah.
What all did you take?
I show her...
Books.
I show her the books I took, as well as, like, the gems and the mithril and the chain shirt.
So two things from her is as soon as Diamond shows her the books, you can see her eyes light up and she's extremely excited by those books. She would say, "Those are books of my clan. We have thought those to be lost." And then the second thing is, "That's a keystone." And she points to the lever that the kobold was, that you guys took from the kobold. "This is probably why the mummy did not pursue you. This keystone is required to be purchased by the miners to enter and exit the city. And the mummies will not attack anybody that has this lever."
Is that why they attacked me and not him?
Oh, the skeletons, you mean?
Yeah.
Are the skeletons separate from the mummies?
I am not entirely certain, but Morad himself would say, "Yeah, actually, they were just targeting Diamond and me, or Diamond and you, Erevan."
So then how come the mummies weren't attacking Diamond and Erevan?
Mummies, Vadana would say, are intelligent creatures, the mummy lord being the one in control of them. But they have memories. They remember their lives, unlike the zombies and skeletons. And they're just as greedy as they were in life. Did you make purchase of this keystone from the temple?
We might have stolen it from a kobold.
Well, the only one that's probably upset about that would be the kobold. The mummies would not care as long as the keystone was paid for. So after a moment of silence, she says, "I believe your stories. You may pass if you wish. But I will ask, what are your plans? Are you leaving the force? Are you returning to your well?"
I want to explore the city more, but at the same time, we don't know enough about it. We don't really, it's not like we even have as much as a map. I feel like we gotta know where to go in order to explore it more before we explore it more, because if we try to do that now, we're going to run into a bunch of nasties. So I feel like our next move, maybe return to the city, turn to the king.
She says, "So you do plan to claim the city, the dwarven city?"
"Hopefully so, yes."
She says, "We actually have some ancient records."
"Those would be helpful. And if you like the books that Diamond has, there's a whole library full of books just like those, in case any others are, ancient books of your clan."
"What if I trade her these ancient maps for maps of the city?"
"That's more than a fair trade." She says, "If your intent is to reclaim the city, even if it is in the name of Elkwood," I believe that you guys have, out of character, you guys did mention Elkwood. I think you just did, right?
Yeah.
"Yes, we'll give you maps. We'll tell you whatever information we know of that our elders may remember. And you can have my blade as well."
"Oh, yeah, sure, if you want to. Come on."
"Like, maybe, should we report back to the king, Diamond?"
Maybe. "But there's that huge mine under there, a dwarven mine."
I can lead you around the mountain so we don't have to pass through the dwarf city again. I can get us to Elkwood."
"That'd be awesome, thanks."
She says, "First, though, let's go to my clan to get the maps and information you're asking for, and to return these books to to my people."
"Yeah.
If we're going to be returning back to Elkwood, I will need a little bit of preparation and the ability to draw up the maps. This is going to be stuff that we could do between session as well. Would it be okay to stop here then?"
"Yeah.
Sure.
I will say, if we like rest or something, Erevan's going to take the time to read through that book on the armor."
So you guys would have a while to rest at the elvish encampment. I don't know if Diamond's familiar with dark elves, but in D&D, dark elves tend to be extremely evil, but that's not the kinds of dark elves that you have met here. These ones call themselves the Onyx Elves. You would learn from her. And they're not the elvish traitors, the ones that were banished to the Underdark or underground, and they don't follow the evil elvish god. But other than that lore note, the book you're reading, Erevan, to a bit of a strange place, being at their clan's encampment, you would find that the armor is fairly customizable. You could turn it into a scale mail by attaching the chain shirt to it, and the scale mail itself would have its own enchantments. But this armor can go from just the chain shirt all the way up the full plate.
If I turned it into full plate, is it possible for me to wear it or no?
No, not unless you're trained in full plate. You would have all those effects from it. I can't remember all of them.
Penalties. I believe one of those penalties is I can't cast spells. But I could turn it into like half plate or something, right?
I think half plate is heavy, isn't it? Or
medium, no. Yeah. It's like the heaviest medium armor.
Okay. But yes, you could turn it into pretty much any... You can combine that shirt with any kind of armor, but it would have to be a dwarvish armor, which means at this point, in order to build that, you would need Morid's assistance because it's a clockwork-based modular system. The dwarvish armor was quite a bit different than just your general human medieval era armor. The dwarvish armor is a lot sturdier, much heavier, because the dwarves are, you know, they're heavier built, right?
Yeah.
So even this chain shirt is, it would be fairly heavy if not for it being built from mithril. But yeah, if you're wanting to expand on the armor, taking Baindir would be your best bet at being able to forge or find the pieces that you need.
Yeah, I definitely feel like our best bet at doing that is talking to these elves, getting what information they have, and going back to the city and talking to the king, convincing him to send troops there, clear the place out. Might even need like some paladins and clerics to deal with the evil and magics that are there.
All right, so the Onyx elves would tell you some stories about the city, but most of them culminate to what Vandana had summarized for you. The actual name of the mummy lord himself is Baindir. So he's got a pretty invested interest in keeping the city as his own, even if he's just ruling over undead creatures. On your way back to the city, you would cross paths with some soldiers that were already on the way to join you. And they were going to start searching the forests for the entrance to the city or for you. However, they would tell you that, speaking specifically to Diamond, they would say that there's been some developments already with the paladins and clerics sent to her forest, and you are actually being summoned to Elkwood.
Oh, snap.
And by you, he would say, thou art summoned. So that would be all of you are actually wanted by the court.
Well, I suppose we really should head back.
I guess it's time to go back.
And that is all the information I'll give for now, if that's okay. I'll sort out the next session.
Oh, before we return to the city, we should go back there and pick up that loot.
Yeah.
Amir's got that for you.
Cool. I want to give it to that bard and try and make peace with him.